Grace and peace to you from the one in whom we live and move and have our being, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the Old Testament, in the book of Joel, there's a pretty famous verse. Earlier this year, when we worked our way through the book of Acts, we probably referenced it at some point, as it's often used in regard to Pentecost. The prophet Joel says, "It shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." We speak of this verse around Pentecost for good reason. Joel tells us of the inbreaking of the Holy Spirit upon all people and the wondrous things God will reveal to both the young and the old, to both men and women. We clearly see this at Pentecost. However, that's not the only time we see it. Listening closely, we can hear in Luke's gospel that the Holy Spirit is active and working in the lives of God's faithful people long before Jesus is even born. And we see that there is another story besides Pentecost, a wonderful story, that Joel's vision of male and female elders prophesying and dreaming could also be said to foretell. Today, as we celebrate the newborn baby Jesus, we hear the Holy Spirit's guidance of two faithful prophets. And with that, let's turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 22. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him into his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 70 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Word of God, word of life. Amen. So many passages of Scripture are easy to kind of simply read the paragraphs and move on. But often these readings have so much more joy and beauty if we simply take the time to stop and savor the images we find in them. For instance, I've been very taken this week with the image of old Simeon holding the newborn Jesus in his arms. Old Simeon and newborn Jesus gazing into each other's eyes. There was a Lakota elder at the school I taught at who often said that there's something especially sacred about both the old and the newborn. And more than that, that there's something especially sacred about the old and the newborn's relationship to one another, an understanding and closeness shared between them, because both are nearer in time to the eternity of God. I think of that statement as I imagine old man Simeon holding the baby Jesus in his arms and the sense of joy he must have felt. It's really such a beautiful scene. And then, of course, there's Anna, lovely Anna, At 84 years, she's a woman ahead of her time in more ways than one. As she looks upon the baby Jesus, she is so inspired that she goes into Jerusalem and begins to tell everyone who is seeking redemption that it has arrived in this child. Therefore, it's a kind of fun and largely overlooked fact that by most definitions, Anna's the very first evangelist. Yes, today we meet two wonderful and faithful people of God who we don't speak about nearly as often as we should. But why should we speak about them more often? What can we learn from the story today? Well, there's a couple things. First, as obvious as it is to say, we learn that Jesus does not grow up isolated from the world and from the people who love him. Even as a baby, Jesus is surrounded by an adoring family and a community of faithful people. We'll talk about more about Simeon and Anna in a moment, but let's also not forget his faithful family, Mary and Joseph, who dutifully bring Jesus to the temple and participate in the Jewish purification ritual at the appropriate time. Mary and Joseph understand the importance of spiritual disciplines and community ritual to the life of faith. Just as Simeon and Anna lead faithful lives of devotion, so too do Mary and Joseph keep God's laws and participate in the life and practice of the Jewish community. Faith is trust in God, but it's also trust that is acted out and expressed in community, in church. Mary and Joseph are already showing Jesus their value for God's law from the moment of his birth. And just as Mary and Joseph participate in the life and faith of their religious community, so too do Simeon and Anna. We're told that they're filled with the Holy Spirit and both have been leading righteous and devout lives, working in and around the temple. It's the same temple where Zechariah first sees the angel a few chapters ago. We're shown in vivid terms how important religious life is for the people caring for the young Jesus. And so we also learn a lot about the world that Jesus was born into and how it connects to our own. Like our world, it's a broken place, full of suffering and sickness and corruption. As we continue through the gospel, we'll read how there are not enough beds for the sick, how the poor are taken advantage of, and how many political and religious leaders act with cruelty and for their own benefit. But also like our world, it's a place with communities made of God's holy and faithful people, people who have been watching and waiting for God's miraculous work for days, months, and even years, people who, guided by the Holy Spirit, have in turn helped guide us and form us into who we are today. Simeon and Anna waited for years and years and years for the arrival of Jesus, and when they see him, they immediately recognize him for who he is. I'm sure you've known people like that in your own lives, wise and discerning shepherds who know you and who have spoken truths about you that were immediately obvious once they were said. Pillars of faith who have watched over you as you've grown in your own faith. Mentors who are honest with you. Because let me tell you, Simeon and Anna are both honest. In Simeon's blessing of Jesus and in his words to Mary, Simeon does not mince words about what Jesus represents. Ultimately, it's good news, yes, but it's not a cheap or easy good news. Simeon's blessing of Jesus is actually kind of ominous at times. So Luke's a masterful writer, and it's important to pay attention to small details whenever you're reading his gospel. He's crafty with language, and so strange phrases often warrant a little more attention. For instance, we normally talk about doing something all day and all night, right? In that order, typically all day and all night. It's the same in Greek. That's the normal idiom. Day, night. Well, we learn Anna has been steadfastly praying and fasting in the temple all night and all day. A slightly unusual way of expressing that, but whatever. It's probably just phrased funny. That is, unless we can find some sort of pattern happening here that might have some sort of significance. And indeed, there is. Because Simeon also phrases something a little bit backwards. He reverses the order. Our usual idiom is to say something rises and falls. But Simeon speaks of falling and rising. He says Jesus is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel. Day, night, and day, falling and rising. Maybe kind of like repentance and forgiveness, death and resurrection. In other words, it's a reversal. It's a theme we see again and again throughout Luke's gospel. Jesus brought into a broken land, brought into a world with faithful people, brings divine reversal to the world. Jesus will inaugurate an upside-down kingdom, a kingdom where the powerful will be brought down from their thrones and the lowly lifted up, where the hungry are fed and the fed go hungry, where the poor are blessed and the rich are sent away empty. Simeon and Anna are full of integrity, and so they don't mince words about the harshness of what this means, both for us, but also for Jesus and Mary. As Jesus is held, swaddled in a baby's garment, we get the first hint that there is already a cross in the shadows behind the cradle. There are wonderful things in store for the world, but they will come at great cost to both son and mother. Like the wisest people I know in my life, Simeon and Anna speak with the wisdom of people who have perspective. Even in seeing their joy at Jesus, they are honest about the condition of the world. They do not ignore the suffering and death around them, but rather they speak openly of the hard repentance that awaits God's people. After all, there's no forgiveness without fault. And so Simeon and Anna's bluntness is also, in a way, refreshing. By speaking openly about the human tragedy that Jesus' life will contain, as well as God's salvation, Simeon and Anna make clear that Jesus' significance for the world is much more than a platitude. His life will have real consequences. Yet even with the warnings they give, Simeon and Anna are able to joyfully celebrate the promise God's fulfilled right in front of their eyes. They do not worry about what's come before or what will come after, because hope has arrived. Like these ancient saints, Anna and Simeon of Jerusalem, we live in hope of all sorts of good things. Good health for our families, friends, and ourselves. Happiness and success for our children and grandchildren. A new and wonderful ministry among our congregations. But most of all, we live in hope that the one who came to bring peace on earth, goodwill among peoples of every nation, race, and creed, will do the same for our lives and for those whom we love. After waiting so long, it's a hope that Simeon and Anna cannot help but proclaim to everyone around them. So as we celebrate the birth of this newborn Savior, let us also give thanks for the lives of God's faithful disciples, the people in our lives who have pointed us to Jesus, who have taught us God's ways. Let us give thanks for the people who are honest with us and show us what it means to be wrapped in God's love. Before I close, I'd like you to join me in an exercise. It's an exercise that Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers, was fond of doing. And also remember, he was a Presbyterian minister, so I'm sure he was very familiar with Simeon and Anna. For the next 60 seconds, I'd like you to pause and remember the people in your life who have loved you into who you are today. To pause and to remember the special people in your life who have loved you into who you are today. We'll do it for a full 60 seconds. I'll use my watch. Close your eyes and picture the people who have made you into who you are today through their love of you. And we start. Thank you, Lord, for the faith of your disciples around us. We give you thanks for your great cloud of witnesses who have loved us and shaped us into who we are today. Amen.